Thanks for joining us today. We want to hear how God is using our ministry to make a difference in your life today. Send your story to mystory@oceansunite.com. And we also want to say that if you are encouraged and you want to partner with our ministry, go to oceansunite.com, select the giving option that best suits you. And we want to thank you for your participation, and we want to bless you.
Amen. So it's great to be with you this evening. And for those of you that were here this morning, we spoke about fasting, and we're getting ready for our Daniel fast, which starts next weekend. And thank you for that. Whoop, that's great. Amen. A new little whoop, whoop, you know, it'll be great. Amen. So very excited about it. But what I want to talk to you about tonight is because while I was preparing this afternoon and just praying about my message that I was going to give you, the Lord really began to speak to me about the message. I'm amazed at God. You know, we can take His word, we can open up anywhere, and He'll speak to us. He will speak to us because that's what He does. He loves us. He wants to have communion with us. He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to speak to us. And His word is like a hammer. It is powerful, and it can change us. Now, what I want to share with you tonight is just a couple of things before I really get into the message, just to kind of set the stage and prepare you for the message. We're going into this fast, and so I want to give you a word that I believe is from God for us right now. Amen. So I can take a word that was an Old Testament word, and I'm going to share it with you and apply it to us right now. So you need to see this word. It's a prophetic word. It's a word for the now. Amen. So I'm going to read to you from the scriptures, and we're going to hear God speak to us right now. And what I want to say to you is this, and prepare you for this. So as I begin to unfold and bring forth the word tonight, you will hopefully see it before I even get there. That's what I'm hoping tonight. I want the revelation to hit you. Okay. And that is this, that going into a fast is not easy. It takes commitment. It takes faith. There are people sitting in this room, and you need a miracle. You need a breakthrough, whether it be against your enemies, whether it be personally, financially, whatever it is, you may need a breakthrough. And sometimes we don't know, we have no idea where that breakthrough is possibly going to come from. But when we trust God and we step out and we take a bold step of faith and fast and consecrate ourselves, we see throughout Scripture how God moves. Now, I'm not going to be preaching about fasting, but I'm going to show you something, and we're going to apply it the same way. Is that okay? So I want you to keep in mind that sometimes God will use something that you do, a sacrifice that you make, obedience to His voice, and He'll use that and do something so supernatural, and it will come from somewhere unexpected. The breakthrough. The breakthrough that you've been desiring, the breakthrough that you need. We have seen, like Pastor Mike said earlier on, we've seen in the years gone by, I can't tell you, after a couple of weeks, a week or two of the fasting, I start getting emails. I start getting Facebook messages. Pastor Alex, God has already answered my prayers. And He's going to do that again this year. Because He loves you, man. The problem with most of us is we find it so hard to believe that God actually loves us. I could preach on that right now. We struggle to believe that He actually loves us because we're so convinced that our sin has caused us to be separated from Him. And yes, your sin can separate you from Him, but only because you're condemned. You feel condemned. But the reality is He's so good. He loves you so much. And He's just saying, wake up, dummy. Amen. Oh, how can you say dummy? Amen. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter number 3, verse number 1. I don't know why God is keeping me with Jehoshaphat, but since the end of last year, every Sunday night, I talk about Jehoshaphat, and we're going to talk about him tonight again. Yay! Amen. God is good. That's right. 2 Kings 3, verse number 1. Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, it's already started off bad if you ask me. I mean, right there, Jehoram, the son of Ahab, if you're the son of Ahab, you're in trouble. Amen. Became king over Israel at Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Surprise, surprise. But not like his father and mother, for he put away the sacred pillar of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he persisted in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. He did not depart from them. Now, what I want to really make you focus on right now is there's two kings really that we're focusing on. The one is King Jehoram, which is the king of Israel, and the other is King Jehoshaphat. These are the two main kings in the story. The one is not a good king. He's taken after his father Ahab. And the other is a good king. He's the king of Judah. And at this time, the two tribes, the tribe of Israel and the tribe of Judah, had separated because of Solomon, and we're not going to get into all that. But that's what's taken place. Now, I want you to see what takes place. Nevertheless, he persisted in the sins of Jeroboam the son. Okay, let's go to verse number 4. Now, Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep breeder, and he regularly paid the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and the wool of 100,000 rams. But it happened when Ahab died that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. So the suggestion is that he wasn't paying the king of Israel what he was supposed to be paying him. So King Jehoram went out of Samaria at that time and mustered all Israel. Then he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to fight against Moab?" Now I want to stop right there. At this time, there was a great attempt between Judah and Israel to try and restore peace between the two nations, if you want to call them that. So Jehoshaphat was desperately trying to bring unity between the two tribes of Israel. And so he decides to join in. Watch what happens. Then he went to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to fight against Moab?" And he said, "I will go up. I am as you are, my people, as your people, my horses, as your horses." Then he said, "Which way shall we go up?" And he answered, "By the way of the wilderness of Edom." So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. Now it's interesting, I want to stop right there and point something out to you. That so far in the story, now we see a third king come into the picture. But the story starts out by naming specifically the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, and the king of Israel, Jehoram. But the king of Edom, we don't know his name. We don't know who he is. But he's there, suddenly. Amen. Keep that in the back of your mind for later on. Amen. All right. So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they marched on that roundabout route 7 days. And there was no water for the army, nor for the animals that followed them. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." The king of Israel, immediately when things seem to be going wrong, believes that God is punishing them. How many of us do that? As soon as it's going bad, as soon as it's going wrong, we think God is now punishing us. So the king of Israel's attitude, immediately when something goes wrong, it's God's fault. He's punishing us. He's judging us. It's all because of him. Now we're going to die. We're going to end up in the desert and there's no water and we're going to end up dead and God's judging us. He's delivering us into the hands of the Moabites. Ho hum. "Alas, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hands of the Moab." In other words, God has set us up to destroy us. But Jehoshaphat has a different attitude. He said, Is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" Man. King Jehoshaphat hears the king of Israel complaining and blaming God, and it's all God's fault. And immediately Jehoshaphat, who knows God, who's walked with God, who has relationship with God, even though right now things look really good, listen, there ain't no cloud in the sky. The river is dry. There's a desert. People are hungry and thirsty, and they're in trouble. They're going to get wiped out by the Moabites. And what is Jehoshaphat's response? Jehoshaphat says, listen, we need to hear what God has to say. We need the word of the Lord. We need to hear what God is saying about this situation. Immediately he says, we need God to tell us what to do. I trust God. I put my faith in God. Regardless of how bad it is, regardless of how things look, I'm trusting him. Amen. Amen. Is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? Two kings, two different situations, two different perspectives. Both Israelites, both Hebrew people. In other words, both children of God. And today our perspective is so much the same. One will be trusting, one will have faith, one will believe. As soon as trouble comes, they're going to turn to God. The other one, as soon as trouble comes, oh my goodness, it's all God's fault. He's judging me. I'm in trouble. My sins are far too great. So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, Elisha the son of Shaphat is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. And it is such a beautiful description of Elisha. And the description basically describes someone who has done spiritual service. And what you may not understand is when you do spiritual service and you serve in the kingdom, what it does is it prepares you for future spiritual service. I just love the description. Who is Elisha? Listen, Elisha is the one who poured water on the hands of Elijah. But what you don't know is Elisha is the one who got the double portion. In other words, he is greater than his father Elijah in the realm of the spirit. Because he served. But so many of us in ministry, we don't want to serve. Elisha never once said to Elijah, listen, you're holding me back. I am the one who's going to have the double portion. Do you not know who I am? No, he served. And every time Elijah said to him, go away, he said, as the Lord lives, I will not leave you. When the people came to him and whispered to him and said, listen, why are you still following Elijah? Don't you know that he's going to be taken up today? He said, shut up. I'm staying with him. Doesn't matter what they say about him. Doesn't matter how they accuse him. Doesn't matter what they... I'm sticking by him. And that's why he got the double portion. Wow, that was good, right? That was good, right? That was for free. Amen. I don't know where that came from. Amen. But the description was amazing. And look at the response of Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat said straight away, no denying it, he's talking about a servant, not talking about a prophet. He says the word of the Lord is with him. He knew that because of Elisha's serving, he knew that the word of the Lord would be with him. He knew that just being around someone who carries God, someone who carries the presence of God, just being around someone like that will cause the presence of God to rub off on you. Who are you hanging out with? Who are you spending time with? Who are you listening to in the daytime? What are you listening to? What are you surrounding yourself with? But Jehoshaphat understood spiritual things. And he knew straight away that the word of the Lord would be with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Let's stop right there. This is incredible. If you study scripture, you will see that 90% of the time, when the king wanted a word from the prophet, they would summons the prophet. But in this situation, this tells you how bad things were. All three kings humbled themselves and went to the prophet. Now, that may not be significant to you, but to me, it's very significant. It tells me that the situation that these three kings were in was absolutely desperate. Desperate situation. And now the story gets really good. I just want to add that they were desperate, but it also took humility from the three kings to go to the prophet, humble themselves and do so. You'll see previously, even when a prophet would tell a king to do something, he wouldn't even want to do it. But these three kings were desperate for God to do something. I believe it was Jehoshaphat. I can actually picture King Jerome going, I'm not going down to that guy. You'll understand why in a few minutes. Then Elisha said to the king of Israel, what have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother. So immediately when he sees King Jerome, the king of Israel, he says, listen, why are you here? You, that's parents, used to worship Baal. Why don't you go and ask Baal to help you? I just think that he was very cheeky. Now, what have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother. Now watch his response. But the king of Israel said to him, no, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hands of Moab. See, he stays on the same track. Listen, I don't care what you say. We are going to die. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts live, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat. And it's interesting because you'll take note in the story up until this point, only right in the beginning, do we not refer to Jehoshaphat one more time as the king of Judah, but now we do. If it were not, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you. Your attitude when it comes to the things of God is so important, guys. Because your attitude is a direct reflection of the condition of your heart. This king's attitude, Jehoram, was bad. God hates me. God's going to judge me. I'm going to stay in my sin. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm not going to listen. And Jehoshaphat's attitude is totally the opposite. He says, listen, word of the Lord is with this guy. We need to hear what God has to say. God can deliver us from the situation. Different attitude. But what I want you to also take note of is that the word Judah means praise. And that's very significant right now for what God is about to do in your life, in my life, in Oceans Unite's life. And I even believe, I'll go as far as to say, even in the city's life. Because it requires someone who, regardless of circumstances and situation, will continue to praise God. Will continue to cry out to God, will continue to rely on God, no matter how bad it looks. Listen, we read these stories, but we don't realize the perplexity of the situation. We think it's bad when we can't pay a bill. These guys had no water. They were going to die. But the attitude of Jehoshaphat remained, let's trust God. Let's praise God. Let's hear what God has to say. While right next to him, the king of Israel is going, God is wanting to judge us. God is wanting to kill us. God is against us. I'm so bad. We're so bad. He's going to deliver us into the hands of our enemy. But Jehoshaphat, in this state, in this condition, continues to trust in God. In your life, with whatever's going on right now, you are about to take a step of faith, by going into this fast, by adjoining in, but whatever degree, whatever you're doing in this fast, you are taking a step of faith by saying, I trust, I believe, I'm trusting for my breakthrough. Can you say amen? Now, if you understand the prophetic, you'll understand that at this moment, Elisha is very frustrated because the atmosphere is bad. Because in the room are two people, one that's good, but one that's attitude stinks. So what does he do? Bring me a musician. Bring me a musician. Because what you don't understand, what we don't understand is that worship and praise and adoration, and especially, listen to me, especially worship has the ability to change the atmosphere. It has the ability to change your heart. It has the ability to cause you to go into a state of thanksgiving. Right now, Jehoram is aggravating Elisha, and all he wants to do is probably prophesy judgment. If I know Elisha, because that's how he was. Listen, the guy was rough. A couple of bears ate some little kids. True story. Because they mocked him because he was bald. Read your Bible. And in comes this king, and he's going on about God this, and he's going to judge us. Listen, I can tell you now, Elisha was ready to kill. But he needed something to change the atmosphere, to change even his heart. What you don't understand is that the prophet represents God's voice. That means, regardless of the situation, when the music plays, when we begin to worship, regardless, even if your attitude does stink, listen, if you decide in that moment to surrender yourself, to just humble yourself and to begin to worship, the atmosphere and the heart of God can change right there, because the atmosphere and the heart of the prophet changes immediately as the musician begins to play. The atmosphere changes. His heart begins to soften. He begins to become sensitive to what God is about to say. And the Bible says, and then it happened. When the music started, when the worship started, when the atmosphere changed, then it happened. Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. And here's the word of the Lord to you tonight, is that you may have to do something to get the breakthrough that is coming. It requires a digging of ditches. And let me tell you something. Can you imagine being 7 days in the desert, no water, no food, you're starving, you're thirsty, you're hungry, you're exhausted, and the word of the Lord is go and dig ditches. Listen, fasting requires sacrifice. Fasting is not easy. Fasting is hard. Fasting is painful. Fasting requires us to consecrate ourselves. Fasting requires us to deny ourselves. Just like these soldiers, just like these men that had to now go and dig ditches in these conditions. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain. Oh, my goodness. Now I'm confused. We need water. We need a breakthrough. First of all, there's two desires, two needs. One, we need to defeat the enemy, right? That's coming against us. That's coming against our family. In this situation, that is wanting to fight against them. They want to destroy Moab, right? But now they're in a condition where Moab can wipe them out like this because they're weak. So they need water. But there's no rain. And the Bible says, the word of the Lord says, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain. What? And God has told them to go and dig ditches. In other words, right now in your life, you may not feel like fasting. You may not feel like taking a step, taking a chance, consecrating yourself. You may not feel like doing it. because you can't see where the breakthrough could possibly come from. But the Bible says that you won't see where it comes from. It's going to come from somewhere unusual. In fact, right here it's saying there's going to be no rain. Yet the valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. And this is my favorite part of this whole passage. And this is simple, is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. Bam, right there. Also, you shall attack every fortified city and every choice city, and shall cut down every good tree and stop up every spring of water and ruin every good piece of land with stones. In other words, he's saying, listen, you desire this from God. But let me tell you something. God's going to give you far more, far greater. He's going to bless you. He's going to give you abundantly. He's going to touch you. He's going to touch your children. You see, one thing I've come to notice every time I fast is that God always gives me more than I ask for. Every time he gives me something I wasn't even praying about, because that's how he works. When you're faithful, when you dedicate yourself, when you consecrate yourself, when you say, God, I'm prepared to give it all up. I'm prepared to lay down my life for you. Listen, he comes through for you every single time. Come on, young people. It is a sad day in church when the old people are standing and the young people are sitting. This is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. Now, they did what the Lord told them, even though it was difficult and the circumstances. Can you imagine going back to your soldiers and saying, listen, guys, there's not a cloud in the sky. I know it doesn't look like it's going to rain, but please go dig some ditches in the river valley because God is about to do something amazing. And they're going to look at you and go, what? So it is right now as we stand on the eve almost of a fast, of a time where it requires consecration, separation. It's not easy. But I'm giving you the word of the Lord. Now watch. Now it happened in the morning when the grain offering was offered that suddenly water came by way of Edom and the land was filled with water. It's very interesting. Three kings. Two kings' names we know. The one king, we have no idea what his name is. Listen to me. God will provide for you after this fast or during this fast from an unexpected source, from an unnamed source. It will be supernatural. It will be miraculous. You won't expect it, but it's going to come. Listen, you might be praying for your child and you think that you're going to be the one that's going to touch your child, but God will send someone to your child who will be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak a word to your child, and all of a sudden they'll pick up the phone and phone you and say, Mom, I don't know what's going on with me, but I think my life has changed. I think something different happened to me. Listen, who in this place says, I believe I'm going to take a step of faith? Come on, somebody. Yeah! Hallelujah. Sit down, sit down, sit down. All right. Because we still got to get to the good stuff. Amen. Verse number 20, now it happened in the morning when the grain offering was offered that suddenly water came by way of Edom and the land was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings had come up to fight against them, all who were able to bear arms and older were gathered and they stood at the border. Then they rose up early in the morning, and the sun was shining on the water. And the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. Now you've got to understand, the Moabites, the enemy gets up. Because now you've been fasting, now you've been seeking God. He gets up and he has a look. And you must understand, as far as he's aware, there was no rain. So what is this liquid on the ground? What is this that God is doing? And where does it come from? And how can it be? And how could it happen? Because you see, when God begins to move, when you take a step of faith and he begins to move, listen, he will surprise the enemy. He will shock the enemy. Not only will he give you what he wants, but he will also sort out the enemy. Now watch, because it's just so wonderful. Then they rose up early in the morning, and the sun was shining on the water. And the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red, blood. And they said, "This is blood. The kings have surely struck swords and have killed one another. Finally, Jehoshaphat has killed Jehoram." That's what they're thinking. Meanwhile, that's not what happened. "Have killed one another. Now, therefore, Moab too, the spoil." So when they came to the camp of Israel, Israel rose up and attacked the Moabites, so that they fled before them, and they entered the land, killing the Moabites. Listen, right from the beginning, the goal was to attack the Moabites. But God took care of their needs as well. God will surprise you. Don't underestimate digging the trenches. Don't underestimate heeding the voice of God, even when it feels difficult, even when it feels like it might not be worth it. And while you're fasting, you think to yourself, man, that cup of coffee looks really good right now. But if you persevere, if you heed the voice of the Lord, if you dig the trenches, listen, he will send the water. He will send the water. He will provide for you. He will bless you. He will bless you. He will surprise you. And he will take care of the enemy. Father, tonight, in this place, we give you thanks, Lord, for the word of the Lord that has come to us. And we claim this word for ourselves, for this fast, Father. For many are desperate. Many are hungry and thirsty. Many need a miracle in this time. And Father, I pray tonight that you will prepare our hearts. Like King Jehoshaphat, Father, we will heed the voice of the Lord. For surely even now you are speaking, Father. And surely now the word of the Lord has come forth. And Father, as we consecrate ourselves in this time, you will answer. You will answer with fire. You will answer with miracles, with signs and wonders. You will touch our loved ones. You will touch our physical bodies. You will cause deliverance and healing to come. Father, you are the God of the impossible, and nothing is impossible for you. And Father, we are a people. We are hungry and we are thirsty, and we believe and we trust you, and we know that nothing is impossible for you. And so, Father, tonight in this place, prepare our hearts, prepare our souls, prepare our spirits, prepare us, Lord, for this task that you have for us. For we will go forward and we will take this ground for you. For we are your body. We are your body, Father, on this earth, here in Vero Beach. And we surrender ourselves to you. We humble ourselves right now in your presence. And we know that we cannot do it without you. Father, we need more of you and less of us. We need more of you and less of us. Take our hearts, Lord. Take our hearts, Lord, in this time, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, if you believe this word, and this word is for you, stand to your feet and give him a shout of praise. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Shout like you believe it. Come on, somebody. Shout like it's possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thanks for joining us. We hope that this message has inspired you in so many ways. If you would like to support our ministry, or if you would like more messages, you can find that at www.oceansunite.com. Once again, we are so excited to have you as a part of the family. Have a wonderful day.